بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, your brothers and sisters, your visitors, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. 29 days ago, by the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we entered the blessed month of Ramadan. We tried to build up great anticipation, and perhaps it was a bit challenging at first. We began fasting, we began praying at night. We controlled ourselves, we restrained our desires, our temptations, we tried to at least. We flocked to the masjid for Isha, for Taraweeh, for Fajr. And through the month, as the month progressed, we were tempted to slow down. We were tempted to slow down, where we thought, okay, we've already, you know, spent so many days, so many nights praying, maybe we can skip a few days here and there, maybe we should get some rest, we should slow down. But for most of you, you didn't slow down. You kept pushing ahead, you kept moving forward. Many of you came for the programs we had overnight. And alhamdulillah, this time, as I mentioned earlier, I did not notice a mid-Ramadan dip. Usually the first 10 days people come, last 10 nights people come. During the middle there's a bit of a dip. This year, alhamdulillah, I have not noticed a dip. And the last 10 nights started, and he started coming even more so. You came in the middle of the night for Qiyam al-Layl, you made dua, you cried in your duas for each of those deeds. For every single one of those deeds, for every single one of those supplications, I sincerely hope and pray that Allah Azza wa Jal grants you great surprises in Jannah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you many surprises in Jannah, inshaAllah. Because the reward for these acts of worship, the reward for fasting with great expectation of reward and with full faith is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a great reward for that, inshaAllah. That is my dua. And I also pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants you much blessings and goodness and peace and love and iman in this life. And of course in the hereafter as well, inshaAllah. I'm very hopeful that each of you have made many gains in this blessed month. I am hopeful that each of you has made many, many gains in this blessed month. Gains in good deeds. Because alhamdulillah, we had numerous opportunities for doing good. Gains in improving yourselves. Gains in improving your habits and your lifestyle. And increasing the level of your iman, the strength of your iman. During the past few weeks, our thoughts, our concerns, our discussions have been diverted, unfortunately, by the issue of security. And of course, there was the tragic incident in the United States at a place of worship, a Sikh place of worship. And following that, there were numerous attacks, unfortunately, on masajid as well. About 8 or so. As part of our discussions also here with some of the brothers here, was also the fact that we are hearing of increasing number of reports in our city, people talking about their homes being broken into. And at least in some of these cases, if not all of them, it appears the thieves were after gold, after jewelry that we have stored in our homes. So I would ask you, I would caution you to be careful, to take precautions when it comes to your property and your home. Even in the daytime, many times we think that break and enters happen only at night. They don't. Many of them happen in broad daylight, unfortunately. Now the fact that I'm mentioning this right now probably means that you're going to take this very seriously. Most chances are that you're going to talk about this with your family members, with your spouse. You're going to go home. You're going to look around the house. You're going to double check that the windows are locked. You're going to make sure that your lock is strong enough. Most people, most of us are going to do that. And this is a very natural concern. This is a very natural type of reaction. In the same way, all the rewards, all the supplications, the surprises in Jannah that you have accumulated during the month of Ramadan are also at risk. Our spirituality, our spiritual gains are also at risk. Because in just a couple of days, in just a matter of days, many of the criminals and the thieves will be set free. Many of the criminals and the thieves will be set free. And most chances are that either they are or they will be strategizing, making plans on how to attack you, how to attack your spirituality, how to attack the gains that you have made during the month of Ramadan, how to attack all the things that you have improved upon in the month of Ramadan, how to go after those surprises that have been accumulated for us in Jannah, inshallah. They will be thinking about how to take away these hard-earned gains, how to set you back, how to make a dent in your earnings and your rewards. At the same time, there's a risk that we ourselves might end up being reckless and might end up wasting away all of our earnings. And so gambling is haram, you know, lotteries are not permissible. But many of the people who actually win, you know, the 649 or whatever game they're playing, you should actually look at how many of them are actually millionaires a few years down. Very few of them actually are. Because they're not used to having so much money. What do they end up doing? They end up blowing it all away. Happens to many athletes as well. They're used to the lifestyle. They're used to the paycheck, the 8 million, the 10 million, 20 million paychecks every year. Once they retire, boom. You don't know what happened to all that money. It all disappeared. So there's a risk that we could end up being reckless with our gains, and we can end up wasting away all of our earnings as well. So it would be wise for us. It would be very wise for us to plan, to find ways to protect ourselves, to protect our hard-earned earnings and our rewards, just like you will be thinking seriously about the security of your home and about your valuables that you have stored inside your place of residence. As the Prophet ﷺ has told us, the shayateen are chained up in Ramadan. So, وَسُلْسِلَةِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Because of that, they are weaker. Their effect is weaker in the month of Ramadan. And they're not able to do what they're able to do at other times outside of Ramadan. Now, the scholars have given different understandings, different interpretations as to what it actually means for the shayateen to be locked up. But what we know is that once Ramadan is over, they will be unchained. They will be back at full force. Right? What it means is that when they are unchained, when Ramadan is over, the effects of shayateen, the effects of shaitan will be back to normal. Right now, it's subdued. You still see evil happening for various reasons, but the effects are controlled, they're subdued, they're hidden somewhat. That's why you see, mashallah, so much goodness. That's why you see so many people coming together and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving charity, doing all of these good deeds, because Allah has given us this opportunity by suppressing the shayateen, by suppressing the devils. But once Ramadan is over, they'll be back at full force. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly warns us. Allah repeatedly warns us about shaytan. And he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطْوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. O you who believe, do not follow the footsteps of shaytan. Now you would think, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the believers not to follow the footsteps of shaytan? Everyone who's a believer, alhamdulillah, we are all believers, we know shaytan is our enemy. We know shaytan is our enemy. Anybody think that shaytan is their best friend? I hope not. Right? Shaytan is your enemy, everyone knows that, all the believers know that. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of shaytan. وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعَ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Whoever follows in the footsteps of shaytan, whoever chases behind shaytan, whoever goes behind shaytan, should know that what does shaytan want? He orders you to commit shameful acts and evil deeds. That's what he's up to for. That's what he's going to do. That's what he has promised to do. He's going to try to do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us. He's warning the believers. He's saying, be careful. Do not follow the footsteps of shaytan. And you will notice this immediately. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. You say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim," because you will notice, the moment the month of Ramadan leaves, you will start noticing the effects. You will start noticing the effects. Perhaps some not right away, some later or so, depending on your environment and the things you're involved in. But the shayateen will be at it in full force as soon as the month of Ramadan is over. So for those, and yes, there are people, you know, who will stop going to bars during the month of Ramadan, because it's the month of Ramadan, it's a sacred time, they don't want to go to bars. Okay, as soon as the month of Ramadan is over, those temptations are going to be there. Okay? Those temptations are going to be there, pushing at you more. Your friends, your acquaintances, they'll say, "Okay, well, Ramadan is over now. Now you can come join us." Okay? Those who are into drinking and have stopped drinking in the month of Ramadan, and yes, Muslims are up to everything, this is one of those things too, unfortunately, that will also come back as soon as Ramadan goes away. Those who are addicted to viewing inappropriate images on the internet and inappropriate videos and pictures, that temptation will also come back. Will also come back, and you'll feel, "Okay, well, Ramadan is over now, now I'm free. Ramadan is over now, now I'm free, now I can go back to being my old self." Backbiting, if you've tried to suppress ourselves and we try to restrain our tongues, that temptation will come back. Right as soon as Ramadan is over, we're going to start feeling that we're free, and then we can go ahead with these things. Indecent music and indecent dances, you will see parties happening. You will see parties happening right at Eid time, even before Eid. Celebrating Eid, where such things will be happening. For the brothers, restraining your gaze, it will become more of a challenge. You will go for Eid prayer, you will be tempted, you will have the temptation to cast inappropriate gazes. And for the sisters, there will be temptation to break the guidelines of hijab on the day of Eid. Right? Why? Because shaitan is out at full force. You feel that Ramadan is gone, now we can take it a little bit easier. Right? So these are the footsteps of shayateen, of the shaitan. These are just some examples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that shaitan will command us to do what is opposite of what Allah wants. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, shaitan will tell us to do the exact opposite. And this is how you find out whether you're being tricked by shaitan or not. That before you do an action, you think about it. You think about it. Alhamdulillah, we have no shortage of knowledge. Very few times do we end up doing something because we didn't know that it was wrong. Or we didn't do something because we didn't know it was required. Very few, very rare. Most of the time we know exactly what is right, we know exactly what is wrong. Yet we still fall for the tricks of shaitan. We still fall for the desires and temptations coming from our nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if you want to seek protection, what should you do? وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغًا فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Should a stroke from shaitan strike you, seek refuge with Allah. Say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Now shaitan, he comes in different ways. He knows the same way, the same route, the same trick is not going to work with every person. Every single tactic is not going to work with every person, because every person is different. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recounts what Iblis said. What did the big shaitan say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he was kicked out? ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعْنَ إِيمَانِهِمْ وَعْنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. That I will come upon them from their front side and from their behind, from their right and from their left. This human being will be attacked from all sides. So shaitan's going to come to you openly, he's going to come to you in a hidden way, he's going to come from different ways. From right and left, from every side, with different tricks and different temptations. So like I said, sometimes it will come in the form of temptations, where you will feel like Ramadan is over now, now I can go back to being my own self, I don't have to restrain myself anymore, right? I don't have to pretend to be good all the time, I can go back to doing with the things that I enjoy. Or it will try to trick you and say, "You have restrained yourself for so long. For 30 days you have struggled against yourself. Are you going to continue struggling for the rest of your life? Take a break." Everyone takes a break. When you go to work, you take a break for an hour. You take weekends off. You take holidays. So Shaitan's going to try to tell you, okay, you take a break now. You work very hard, 30 days. 30 days, you work very hard now, it's time to take a break. Right? Enjoy yourself a bit. Eid is a time of enjoyment. Eid is a time of happiness. He's going to try to tell you all these things. So go out and enjoy yourself the way you want to. Follow your desires for a little bit. I know the Imam was saying you should restrain yourself, but you restrain yourself for so long. You know, you need a break now. You need a bit of a breather. So he's going to try to bring different tricks to you. Or pressures. So mashallah, many of you may have thought and said, okay, this is a time of reflection, a time of change. I'm going to bring some positive change in my life. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to become more regular in my prayers. I'm going to frequent the masjid more. I'm going to try to wear the hijab more often. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You have thought about these things. But shaitan will bring pressures upon you. Family members, friends, people who will make fun of you. They will mock you. This will happen. It happens to people. Happened to me as well when I was a child. When I was a child, I was 11 years old. I was 11 years old when my father, my parents decided to send me to the Islamic Institute in Cornwall. The brothers are here to collect donations to go and memorize the Quran. I was 11 years old at the time. I had family members. I had family members, close family members who made fun of me. They said, what are you going to do by going there and studying? I was 11 at that time. They said, what are you going to do by learning and memorizing the Quran like a parrot? You're going to recite the Quran without understanding anything. What's the point? You're going to study. You're not going to get anything out of it. What are you going to do in your life? These were the things I heard as an 11-year-old. Right? So pressures and temptations will always be there from different places. So please, don't be those who exert this negative pressure. Do not be the friends of shaitan who try to stop people from doing good things. When you have a family member, a child, a friend, a relative who's trying to improve, who's trying to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't act as a roadblock to them. Don't act as a tool of shaitan. Don't get used by shaitan to try to discourage people from doing good. Be the opposite. Encourage them. Perhaps you're not at the same level. I have relatives, I can have people who are better than me, for sure. Everyone else is better than me. If they're trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I should be encouraging them. Yes, maybe it's something I cannot do at this time, I feel I'm not ready for whatever reason. But at the very least, I shouldn't be stopping others who are trying to do good. So these type of pressures are going to come. So please don't be the ones who are exerting this type of pressure. Right? Be those who are supportive and those who are encouraging. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if shaitan strikes with an evil thought, you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. You seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan. An evil thought comes to your mind. You get angry. Anger also comes from shaitan. You're exposed to evil from others. You go somewhere and there's something going on which is inappropriate. Or your friends and your family members or your acquaintances try to get you to do something which you know is not correct. Which you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. Which you know that you don't want to be standing in front of Allah and defending yourself about. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Take steps to get out of there. Take steps to move out of that situation and seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recite, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Recite, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Very powerful surahs, very powerful dua. And seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against all the evil that are out there. Follow the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in as much detail as possible. Right? Because every time you follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you strike a blow to shaitan. There's a very interesting hadith. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا قَرَأَ ابْنُ آدَمَ السَّجَدَ فَسَجَدَ اِعْتَزَلَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَبْكِي. But when the son of Adam, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, related, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the son of Adam, when a human being recites a verse of sajda in the Quran and prostrates, shaitan withdraws weeping. Shaitan withdraws, goes away from there weeping. Why is he weeping? يَقُولُ يَا وَيْلِي أُمِرَ ابْنُ آدَمَ بِالسُّجُودِ فَسَجَدَ فَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ وَأُمِرْتُ بِالسُّجُودِ فَأَبَيْتُ فَلِيَ النَّارِ. He cries. This is how you can get shaitan to cry. If you want to protect yourself against shaitan, you want to give him the knockout punch, you want to make him cry, you want to make him weep like a loser, this is what you do. You prostrate. You recite Prophet ﷺ telling us, a person recites a verse of prostration in the Quran that says, make sajda, and he prostrates, shaitan withdraws weeping, saying, woe be to me. Woe be to me, the son of Adam was commanded to prostrate and he prostrated. The human being was commanded to prostrate and he prostrated. So paradise will be his because he followed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He submitted himself to Allah. I was commanded to prostrate, Iblis saying, shaitan, I was commanded to prostrate and I disobeyed. So hell will be mine, the fire will be mine, Jahannam will be mine. So this is one of the ways of defeating shaitan. If you want to give him the knockout punch, you follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You resist his temptations, you resist his tricks. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great weapon against shaitan. It is mentioned in the hadith that Allah commanded Yahya alayhi salam to enjoin five things upon the Bani Israel, upon the children of Israel. One of them which was, he said, I command you to remember Allah. Listen to this carefully, this is important. I command you to remember Allah. For this is like a man who is being pursued by the enemy. I command you to remember Allah, for this is like a man who is being pursued by the enemy. Then he comes to a strong fortress and saves himself from them. So you're being chased by the enemy, you find a fort, you find a strong fortress, and you save yourself from them. Similarly, a man cannot save himself from his enemy except by means of dhikr. You cannot save yourself from your enemy, meaning shaitan, except by means of dhikr, meaning remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. And whosoever turns away blindly from the remembrance of the Rahman, whoever turns away blindly from the remembrance of the Most Gracious, from meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we appoint for him a shaitan to be an intimate companion to him. This is very clear. If you turn away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you turn away from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint, there will be a vacuum there. There will be a vacuum which will be filled by a shaitan which will become an intimate, a close companion to you. Allah says, وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَسُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And verily they, meaning these devils, hinder them from the path of Allah, but they think that they are guided. Right? So that vacuum which is created by the lack of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is then filled by the devil. It's filled by shaitan, who leads people astray and makes it seem as if whatever they're doing, the misdeeds, the sins, it makes it seem like as if they're doing something very good. The recitation of Quran, of course, a form of remembrance of Allah, also very powerful against shaitan. Especially Surah Al-Baqarah. The Prophet ﷺ said, the house in which Al-Baqarah is recited is not approached by shaitan. The house in which Al-Baqarah is recited is not approached by shaitan. This is narrated by Imam Muslim. Sticking together with the believers. Sticking together with the believers. What's the saying? There's strength in numbers. There is strength in being together. There is strength in numbers. The Prophet ﷺ told us, from an arada minkum bahbahat al jannah, whoever amongst you wants to attain the best part of paradise. Is there anyone here who does not want to attain the best part of paradise? No, of course, everyone wants the best part of paradise. فَلْيَلْزَمِ الْجَمَاعَةِ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ مَعَ الْوَاحِدِ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ أَبَعَدِ. Prophet ﷺ said, let him adhere to the main body of the Muslims, to the jama'ah of the Muslims. For the shaitan is with the one who is alone. Shaitan is with the one who is alone, but he is further away from two. Right? So if you're with the community of Muslims, if you surround yourself with other believers, other people who are good, that will act as a deterrent for shaitan. Shaitan will not want to approach you if you're alone. Right? If you are alone, if you're hanging out alone, you're not coming to the masjid, you're not meeting other Muslims, other good Muslims, other practicing Muslims, then you are making yourself vulnerable. You're making yourself vulnerable to the attacks of shaitan. These are some of the ways of protecting ourselves against shaitan. Now when it comes to ourselves, our own deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا, that worship at fixed times has been enjoined on the believers. So our prayers have been enjoined upon us. Right? The more we miss our prayers, the more we delay our prayers, the more we are lazy about our prayers, the more we put ourselves at risk. The more we put ourselves at risk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ. Right? Guard strictly your prayers. Be strict about your prayers. Be careful about your prayers. And he tells us the quality, the characteristic of the munafiqeen, of the hypocrites. Right? وَلَا يَأْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَالَى. They don't approach the prayer except very lazily. Right? They don't approach prayer except in a form of laziness, carelessness. That is the characteristics of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. Right? So be careful about your prayers. Be careful about your prayers and guarding your prayers. If you offer your prayers in the congregation, in jama'ah, especially for the brothers, you will get more blessings. More blessings and more rewards, inshaAllah. You will be raised in rank and degree for each step that you take towards the masjid. And the angels will invoke blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you if you come to the masjid to offer your prayers. So try, these are things we should try to improve upon. So we look at our state before the month of Ramadan. And coming out of Ramadan now, we say, okay, what are the things we can improve on? If there's one thing I can improve on, what is it? If there are two, three things, small things even that I can improve on, what are they? Because my dear brothers and sisters, we don't want to be in a situation where we come out of Ramadan in the same state in which we went into Ramadan. When a car goes into a car wash, if you drive your car into a car wash and you drive out and your car is in the same state as it was when you drove into the car wash, you're going to go ask for a refund. Or you're going to go ask for another car wash. Because you just wasted your, whatever, 6, 7, 10 bucks on a car wash. They're getting more and more expensive now, right? So you wasted all that money on a car wash. You're not satisfied. So Ramadan is like a car wash for us. A spiritual wash for us. If you come out of the month of Ramadan, you're in the same state. You can't go back to Allah ask for a refund and say, refund my fast that I fasted. No, that's your problem that you didn't get washed through the month of Ramadan. So it's upon us, the onus is upon us to ensure that when we come out of the month of Ramadan, we come out cleaner. Visibly cleaner as well. So that there is some real effect, some real change in ourselves. MashaAllah, in the month of Ramadan, we've tried to build upon new habits. Right? So especially in the end, many of the brothers and the sisters as well have come, you know, for Qiyam al-Layl, for the night prayers in the early morning or in the late night. Right? So this is something that we should try to continue. Perhaps if you can't do it every night, you can make a habit of trying to doing it once a week, a few times a week, when we are free, the weekends, if you're not doing it already. Right? Fasting has been encouraged by the Prophet ﷺ. Right? Most of us, we fast only in the month of Ramadan. But this is something which was a regular practice of the Prophet ﷺ. Right? Fasting 3 days a month, 13th, 14th, 15th of each Islamic month. Right? Fasting on Mondays, fasting on Thursdays. Right, so these are all things which are encouraged and which can help us develop and continue to improve spiritually, inshallah. Giving charity regularly. We know we are encouraged to give charity in the month of Ramadan. But always remember that charity does not diminish your wealth. It may appear like your bank balance is going down every time you make a donation via PayPal. That's how we do it anyways, right? Every time you make a donation, it looks like your bank balance is going down, right? But that is what is apparent to us. Right? In the grand realm of things, it's not going down. Because charity will not diminish wealth. Always remember that. Always remember that. And this is true. Because this is what the Prophet ﷺ has told us. Charity will also act as a form of protection. As a form of protection for you. For you. A type of armor. Protecting you. Protecting your loved ones. So try to be regular in charity. Try to be regular in the recitation of Quran. Find something. I'm not going to tell you what, but find something which you improved upon in the month of Ramadan and that you can build upon as we exit Ramadan. Because whatever we have built, whatever savings, rewards, awards, good deeds we have built, we don't want to destroy those. We don't want to be destroying those. Would it make sense for a developer to build houses? Like we see the new houses being built and spend time and energy and effort upon in building them. And then going there 30 days later and putting them all on fire and destroying them. Would it make any sense? No. Would any sane individual do that? No. So similarly, we also have to work towards preserving our gains so we don't end up losing whatever we have gained in the month of Ramadan. One of the signs of acceptance of the good deeds We all committed many deeds, alhamdulillah. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts these deeds from us. There were lacking, there were shortcomings, there were mistakes, but we make dua, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our deeds. One of the signs of acceptance of good deeds, because we want our deeds to be accepted, that I'll tell you a sign that your deeds have been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that good deeds are followed by goodness. Good deeds are followed by goodness. If you continue to build upon goodness after committing good deeds, it is a sign that hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have accepted your good deeds. Not followed by evil. That you commit a good deed, you do some good things, you seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you snap right back into it. Right? When we are racing towards goodness in the month of Ramadan, we are racing towards forgiveness. We are racing towards the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the month of Ramadan is over, my dear brothers and sisters, please do not do the reverse. Do not race towards evil. Do not try to be the first ones to commit a sin. Do not try to be the first ones who goes back to sinning as we used to. Race with one another to try to stop, to be the last ones. We are human beings, we are going to make mistakes. We are going to commit sins. Even if we try, it's going to end up happening. But we want to race with one another to be the last ones. This is a race in which you want to be last. When it comes to forgiveness and gaining the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to be first. But when it comes to sinning, you want to be the last ones. Don't race with one another. That as soon as Ramadan is gone, you race with one another to beat each other, to be the first ones to commit sins, to be the first ones to commit indecency, to be the first ones to break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not a race that you want to be winning. This is a race where you want to be losing. You want to be the last one. You want to be the last one. Think about, you know, all of the deeds and the du'as that we have made. Why were we doing them? Why were we committing all of these deeds? These good deeds. Why were we making all of these du'as? Were we just doing them so that we can waste them and we can burn them afterwards? I don't think anyone was planning to do that. So my dear brothers and sisters, my request to you is that please be careful when the month of Ramadan comes over. The month of Ramadan is over and we celebrate Eid especially. Please be careful. Please be careful at that time. Please be careful and try to restrain yourselves and protect yourselves from being the first ones to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you see others who are trying to encourage you to do things which will break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, restrain yourself. Create an environment where it is taboo to commit sins, where it is looked down upon among yourselves in your circle of friends, where you don't encourage each other to break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You encourage each other, you're a positive influence. You try to talk among yourself and say, you know what, this is something we used to do every year. This was a tradition we used to do every Eid. Let's not do it this year. Let's try to control ourselves this year so that we come out as better individuals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His mercy and His forgiveness upon you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for all of your good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your deeds. May Allah accept all of your du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to come out of the month of Ramadan as better human beings, spiritually and physically, every single way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and the understanding to continue working towards good and try to restrain ourselves as much as possible from following shaitan and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. آمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.